Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weed Say Wednesday, Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host, Belle Starr,
and the Cannabis Kid. Our show features interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona,
and the world at large. We'd love to hear from you. Please give us a call at 646-915-8421. Email thctucson@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook, visit us on MySpace, and tweet with us on Twitter.
Our sponsors today are Accurate Med Testing, Growers Health, and Mary Jane Survival Guide.
We would like to thank Tumbleweeds Health Center and Studio C for hosting our show every week. Along with certifications, you will find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. Visit Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, or tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. And remember,
be smart,
be safe,
and educate.
All right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Bellstar.
Welcome to Weed Say Wednesday, Cannabis Kid.
How are you?
Well, I'm fantastic after looking at that Facebook photo.
Isn't that funny?
There's a really funny photo of a giant toilet seat.
A giant toilet
in someone's backyard, and it's got a gargantuan pot plant in it. It's beautiful. Hey, fertilizer, you know? I'm not saying. Well, good morning. Welcome. It's November 13th, 2013. Yesterday was 11-12-13. All right. Who got married yesterday?
11-12-13. Someone posted on Facebook the other morning. It was 8. What is it? 8, 9, 10.
Yeah. 14,000 people got married yesterday.
Really?
Yeah. We saw a really great Elvis show. He walked her down the aisle, and then he did the whole ceremony. Officiated the whole ceremony. It was fantastic. He actually looked pretty good. He didn't look too bad. He looked like the in-shape Elvis. Awesome. Well, good morning. Good morning. We have a super fun show today. Our guest is now, our interviewee is usually here just hanging with us this morning. So Nurse Mary D is here. We get to ask her our can health questions this morning and talk about all sorts of good stuff.
We ask the hard questions.
We do. We do ask the hard questions. But in the news, if you all go to avmarijuana.com, you can actually find our ad on the first page because we're celebrating 2 years. Woo! We have a birthday this weekend. Let's just start off with that. We have a huge party this weekend. We turned two on 11-11-13 this year, and we're having a huge celebration. We're going to have a DJ and a barbecue, all free, organic hot dogs. We've got games, massage.
That doesn't bring you in. I don't know.
Hey, and if massage doesn't bring you in, then the psychic readings will. Family friendly, free, mm-hmm. fun for the whole family. We're going to have some raffles. We're going to have some giveaways. It's going to be fun.
Holy Smokes will be doing some sampling.
Awesome. Holy Smokes will be here sampling our organic cannabis products. And some of our doctors from Tumbleweeds Health Center will be down here.
Nice.
Do you know Tumbleweeds Health Center employs almost 20% of the doctors certifying cannabis patients in Arizona. I love it. And how I know this is because Mr. Will Humble said that there was an article this morning said there were 25 doctors doing all the certifications in Arizona.
Oh,
we got four. I think that's pretty
good. That's awesome.
I love it. Hey, if the other 80% want to come on down. Come on, hey.
Yeah, come on.
It's a great place to hang, yeah. What is this fun thing? It's
you see that?
Featured Promethea Pipe. Featured product on AG Marijuana.
Wow.
This looks slick.
Fun.
It says, do you want to be the owner of the coolest marijuana pipe in town? Ooh, Pipe Tech Prometheus Pocket Pipe. And AC Marijuana was having they're doing a free giveaway. You can enter on their website to win, azmarijuana.com. You can also see our ad for our party. It's got to come down noon to 4:20, right here at 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, and we decided to do the raffle a little different. We're going to have some prizes you have to be here to win, and others you don't have to.
So, that's nice.
Yeah. we're just going to split the difference.
Because last year...
Oh, boy. We just sit around waiting for people and no one screaming.
Well, I thought, I think a lot of people left, and so...
Yeah, they did, because they didn't have to stay around to get prizes.
Right.
We're scaling it down, but it's going to be a really fun, super great day for patients, for people interested in cannabis. Our, like I said, our, some of our doctors are going to be here on hand to answer questions and chat with you. Nurse Mary D will be here on hand to chat with you. It's very important to get educated and to come on down and to talk to people, because that's what we're here for. And that's the most important part about this whole journey, is the education, I think. What do you think, Candace?
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
I've got two lovely ladies that are going to be coming down to party this Saturday. They've never used cannabis in their life, and they're tired of taking the pain pills that are making them sick.
May I ask the age group? Never taken cannabis in your life. I take cannabis.
I'm going to say early 40s, and one's just getting ready to about retire. So 65.
Okay. Wow. Really?
I'm guessing.
Wow. Okay.
Early
40s
and 65.
And a, okay.
Well, one's married and...
We had a secret patient question. Oh, let's see. The link is, thank you, azmarijuana.com. Check it out. You can see our ad there, and you can also see, they've got recent medical marijuana news from Arizona, which is great. And this is where I got the statistic. Arizona marijuana doctor certification mills. Come on, people. So here's the deal. We'll read a little bit about this. This is just ridiculous. There's no certification mills here. What, in California, where they're doing like 600 an hour.
Right.
That's a certification mill.
I'm sorry. Someone came in and told me in, I forget the state, they went to a group certification session. There were six of them, and they said, who has pain? And they all raised their hand. Who has cancer? And so they did this, like, group thing, and then the doctor signed off on all of them at once. So, I think that Arizona has anything to say.
No. I wouldn't call us a mill at all. And in fact, in the 3 years that they have done their certification, they're up to about 40,000, which is good. It's not an overwhelming number. It's good, but, you know, I say there certainly is room for more. So this says, a new report revealed that 25 Arizona doctors are accountable for writing medical marijuana certifications to more than 25,000 Arizonans become medical marijuana patients. The 25 doctors are responsible for about 70% of the medical marijuana certifications issued in a 12-month period between 2012 and 2013. Arizona Department of Health Services, ADHS Director Will Humble said that evidence clearly shows the development of certification mills. Humble said it is possible that medical marijuana certifications issued during that 12-month period are legitimate. He noted that many general practitioners are hesitant to write marijuana certifications because of the federal law and possibly due to a lack of information from the Thimbleweed Health Center about the drug or concerns about the federal government revoking their medical license. Such a resilience from general practitioners who certify Arizonans for medical marijuana is probably the leading cause that pushes patients to the certification mill physician, states Humble. The ADHS found 472 doctors statewide have issued all medical marijuana certifications in Arizona, and a vast majority of them are from naturopaths. Currently, Arizona has over 40,000 medical marijuana patients. Good, and they should. That number should be tripled, but people are scared. And Arizona's a tough state.
We are.
And the feds are scary. And, you know, there's no mills here. Will Humble, if anyone knows Will Humble, get him on air with us, please. Or Jan Brewer or anybody from the state. Come on here. You don't have to come down here. We bite, but you don't have to come down here. You can stay in the privacy and the comfort of your own home drinking your tea or your Starbucks coffee, whatever you choose to have. But get on here. Talk to us and educate us. We'll educate you. Education day.
We need to share some education.
We do need to share. We need to share. So speaking of Montgomery, let's see. Should we talk about the medical that he's trying to prosecute a person for one medible. Did you guys hear about this?
No, I didn't.
Yeah. So, well, that's a delicious picture. Maricopa County Attorney Bill Montgomery is attempting the felony prosecution of an Arizona medical marijuana patient for possession of one edible candy. The patient received a letter from the county attorney's office stating it intends to prosecute him. He is facing one felony narcotic violation charge for possessing the edible. This is all happening because of a traffic stop in which police found the candy in the patient's possession. Montgomery and other prosecutors in Arizona theorize that the voter-approved medical marijuana act does not legalize marijuana concentrates, i.e. edibles, teas, oils, etc. An upcoming lawsuit in Arizona filed by the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, could change the marijuana concentrates law in Arizona, making medical marijuana patients able to possess and consume edibles and other concentrates. A court decision favorable to the ACLU would be a major issue for Arizona's medical marijuana patients and industry, allowing medical marijuana dispensaries to legally offer more diverse and medicinally beneficial types of medicinal marijuana products, such as oils, teas, edibles, products high in CBD content.
Interesting. They're talking about that right now.
High CBD content?
Yeah, this high CBD content.
Okay.
Do you have a patient? Do you have the high CBD content?
No, you do not, because...
Lovely question.
Because it has to have the hemp oil that you're referring to. Well, there's hemp oil that's coming out with Dixie Elixir, which we will soon carry, has a super high
drops,
CBD
right?
level. Well, there's capsules, there's drops,
mm-hmm.
there's sprays. They're getting a little blistering kind of thing.
Oh,
you put
strip.
On your tongue, little
strip.
Yeah. Yeah. And their CBD levels are 40 to 60% CBD.
Wow.
And they're saying you can take these drops. There's 250 milligrams, 500 milligram bottles, and you
mm-hmm.
can take them like you would an ibuprofen. So you do a couple drops or a drop or full, I'm not sure of the dosage, and you wait 5-10 minutes and you're good, and you've got hours of release and relaxation, and your kidneys and liver are, well, the side effects are what you want.
Good.
Relaxed.
Yeah, good side effects.
Happy.
Right.
And
works fast.
Yes, works very fast.
Mm-hmm. And
you
this
know,
is also
than
for so anyone that's experiencing pain, anxiety, stress. Also, a thing came out on CBDs the other day that intaking CBDs, whether it be a high CBD strain that you're smoking or if you're doing these drops, also helps out with quitting smoking.
Yes, it does. Absolutely. Well,
so, I mean,
we hope that for
with
this
no
person...
With no euphoric or a psychedelic effect.
Yes, thank you. No psychoactive, no high, if you will.
There's
the only,
no...
The only good feeling you get is from feeling good.
Right.
Your body is receiving all these things.
Which is
right.
good.
It's,
which is good. We like
good. Feeding that endocannabinoid system.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because I had some people, actually the ladies that I was inviting down here, were, they are scared of the psychoactive and
mm-hmm.
have heard about it. And they might have tried it once and did not like it. But they did say that I was telling them about the CBD and Dixie Elixirs. Pumbleweed is going to be carrying those, correct?
We are very soon. We had our training the other day.
Mm-hmm.
laugh at that. We'll get them on air and we'll explain the whole spiel. But they're fantastic. They've been actually open in business just a little longer than we have. They're doing very well. High Times is supporting them. They're getting, they get organic hemp from 40 different countries right now. And currently, yeah, they are inquiring about the hemp grown in our Colorado, beautiful state here.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And they're out of Colorado, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They are. And they're moving to Phoenix as well. Very soon.
Oh, yes. That's so cool.
It mm-hmm. is. It's very cool.
Well, it's nice that people have, once again, another option of cannabis.
A safe option.
It's another CBD.
Yeah.
Another cannabinoid for their consumption.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So,
well, and that's the thing, like with Rick Simpson, sorry to interrupt. Okay. He was, and this is what we were asking, what's the difference between the hemp oil you buy at Whole Foods versus Rick Simpson versus Charlotte's Web or Dixie Elixir. And he said, you know, Rick Simpson was pioneer in getting this extraction, but still the THC was too high for some people, and what they've been able to do is extract an extreme amount of CBD, you know, 40 to 60% is a lot, with less than 0.3% THC.
It's unbelievable. And at Whole Foods, you'll find hemp oil, and it's very good for you, but it's not going to have that high level of CBD.
Yeah,
you're still not going
to
get that.
I'm going to ask about that.
And for people that want absolutely no psychoactive effects, I think this is going to be the way it goes for them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Capsules, tinctures, they have a nice salve, a lotion.
Potentiator for those that do like the psychoactive effects as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that they need to use less of it and more of the
CBD
content as well.
That's great to know too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Nurse Mary D and potentiators, let her potentiate our show.
Yeah, let her potentiate right in.
Boost it up to the next level here. This is our very special, wonderful volunteer and Nurse Mary D. She's an RN, and she's been in Tucson. Well, let you tell us your story. Roar loudly for all our faraway listeners.
All right. I am a Tucsonian. I've been here since 1960. I wasn't born here, but I grew up here, so I know the area very well. And I went to school here. Got my nursing degree, raised my family here, so I know Tucson pretty well. And I got my registered nursing here, worked in Tucson, Arizona at the hospitals and at health plans, et cetera, for over 30 years.
Wow. So you're
I'm not going to say exactly how many because I want to keep you guessing.
Keeps you young.
Yeah, keeps me young.
And Mary, when did you get into medicine and why?
Into medicine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to ask that hard question.
You know, I'm
not messing around.
I'm one of those how do they say that? Those guys that are on TV that are in the Big Bang, what do they call them? Kind of nerdy.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Well, I was sort of nerdy in the way that when I was in school, even high school, I wanted to be a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody else at that time was really into women's lib and doing men's jobs. And, you know, so
yeah,
I did have a dream of being a pilot, but I couldn't see.
Okay.
So,
we're
so
glad
I
you became a nurse.
I decided that nursing would be the thing I needed to do. So
much better avenue.
Yeah.
We're happy you chose it.
Yeah, back then you had counselors that helped you figure it out and told me what I needed to take in order to get into college. And I went to school here, got admitted, and eventually became a nurse. Raised my kids.
And was it the helping people aspect, or did you really get into the physiological aspects of the body, helping work?
You know, both. Tended to be one of those people that really liked science. I love the scientific, biological aspect of nursing, and I was really good at it. So that made me, as a nurse, a better nurse, because I could figure out things, and I loved it when people felt better. And what I learned over the years as a nurse is that people weren't so much, everybody wants to be cured and done of things. And people that have been sick for a long time develop a different view of it. They understand that they're not going to be cured, but they would like to figure out how to get relief. And when I can help people figure that out, that's a huge reward.
Quality
I
of life.
Love.
Some people can't get rid of some of these diseases.
No.
But
the whole purpose of our program is to make sure that at least those people are getting benefits from our medical marijuana or cannabis. So,
how did you get into that? I mean,
that's an interesting story.
The cannabis side of Nurse Mary D.
The cannabis side really started back as Nurse Mary D. When I entered my batch, way back when I was working in the hospital many, many years ago. Not unusual for nurses. It's like the second most field for people having serious back injuries in the country. Oh, no, you're lifting. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't have
people.
Devices to help us lift 300-pound people. We just did it. Because that's what you do when you're a nurse. You do it, and then nurses got hurt. So So, you know, the job changed because of that. But the years of going through with my comrades, the doctors that I worked with, nurses that I worked with, on my injuries throughout the years is very similar to a lot of people in the program, where back injuries, pain, misdiagnosis, diagnosis, treatment causes, side effects. So that has been going on in my life for probably since I was in my late 20s. And so that's a number of years since I've got white hair now.
Wisdom streaks.
Yeah. So, you know, I got up to years of that and used the whole medical system, all that treatment, pain meds. I got used to pain meds and the medical effect that they would give me because I wanted to continue to function as a nurse. And that's what I did for a number of years. And one day I woke up and I was on all these medications. I was on Ambien because I was traveling and couldn't sleep at night for my job. I was on lorazepam because I was being harassed. And I need some stress relief from anxiety.
Oh,
I was on, for a number of years, Vicodin. I was given, what's the patch? Fentanyl.
All while being a nurse?
All while being a nurse, yes. And functioned very well. I know it's never high at work. I never took my pain meds at work. It was like...
Oh, at the end of the day?
People come home and have their six-pack of beer.
Right, yeah.
Or your 3 beer because it hurts so bad, you know?
Right.
I would come home and have my smoke, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
And that's how I knew marijuana was effective for me, you know, through years. And then when it was approved, I didn't have to go on the street and, you know, try to find decent marijuana or try to grow it myself to have any kind of relief anymore, you know, and the system had failed me. I had become disabled, I had become depressed, and I couldn't function as a nurse anymore. I had to quit nursing.
Wow.
And I did. Yeah. And I decided that, you know, living that way on pain meds is hard. And I wanted to have a quality of life. So I said, I'm going to get certified. I'm going to try this out. And I did. I wanted to have that quality. I wanted to have what I was reading about on the internet. I wanted to have quality medication that didn't have pesticides in it or animal feces or whatever was happening in Mexico that didn't used to happen in the 60s. I'm not so sure that I like being in the middle of whatever crime is going on and stuff, you know. And so I said, what's the harm in trying medical marijuana if I can get off as any of these pills? And so I did. I got certified. I asked my doctor.
Nope.
My doctor was not very happy with the idea at all.
No, there goes his golf game.
Yeah, it's the same person that's
giving
me all my medications for all those years.
Yeah, 15 medications that he had you on.
Well, and the response was, I don't care if they pay for the streets with marijuana, but I'm not writing for it. I'm not sitting in the middle of the DEA business. And I could understand that. You know, I could respect that.
But why did he become a doctor? It's obviously not to help
people. Well, see, and that's what medicine has become.
Right.
You know.
If he can't get paid for it by giving out his little prescription,
then I just wanted to get better. I had tried all of this stuff. Therapy, all of that stuff. And,
I've been doing this for a long enough time. Now I'm going to go try my way because your way's not working.
I think I know my body.
Yeah, those doctors think they know people's bodies. Yeah, another thing.
And so do nurses, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not just doctors, you know, nurses as well. I mean, my own profession is guilty of the same condescending judgment.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Talk a little bit about it?
Yeah,
because there are...
I mean, you can play the devil's advocate, but you can also be the patient side and say, hey, I was a nurse, but I also was a patient that was...
Let me give you an example of... I recently went through a hospitalization for a very serious problem with that required a chest surgery. And I ended up at Mayo Clinic for this surgery. And I had been medical, certified medical marijuana patient in Arizona since the beginning. So a couple of years, I had already been doing this. So I informed the resident that was part of the big doctor, you know, the Mayo Clinic specialist, that I use cannabis for pain relief. And that's what I wanted to do at the hospital. I wanted to bring the cannabis to my surgery, provide my own medication, and be able to use it, because I had been able to get off of all those medications I had talked about before, and I didn't want to get exposed to it again.
Your choice. Your body, your choice.
Sounds great.
Sounds simple.
Sounds simple.
She freaked out. She was like, I don't know if we can do that. And so I said, well, how about if we call the pharmacy? Because being a nurse and working in the hospital, I know now they even ask you to bring your own medication, you know. You have a hard time getting the hospital to provide you even prescribed meds. So I talked to the pharmacy, and they said, no, there's no provision for you to do that. I said, even though I have a card and I can bring my own, I could even buy it from a dispensary here in Phoenix. No. You can't do that. So even my own profession that I served, you know, for so many years, was failing at healthcare.
Mm.
You know.
And so just think about how much...
And wasting money, because...
On the other people
in life
that have been in the same situation.
And risking. Putting me back to being dependent on those medications again. But you know what? I did not use one... They gave me a prescription for Percocet, a bunch of Percocet and other stuff, and in my discharge instructions put, use cannabis as previously directed. They didn't even know how it was previously directed, you know. I had to figure that out for myself.
Wow, that wasn't the first time you'd ever tried cannabis.
Oh, no.
No.
But we get a lot of first-timers, and we're like... Mm-hmm.
That's what amazes me as a volunteer at Tumbleweeds, is finding patients that are so desperate for pain relief. And I understand that, having been there. I don't suffer that kind of pain now because I'm a chronic medical cannabis user, you know? I believe in preventing... the pain that was causing me to be so disabled. And I function 100% better now, not being in pain all the time.
Yeah.
So that's what I see that I could bring to patients that are looking for stuff like this. But I'm amazed that people are willing to go out and spend $300, $400, $600 off the bat to even try to get that kind of pain. And they haven't even tried cannabis before.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But, and then to see them come back in a week or 2 weeks, a totally different person.
I've seen a 24-hour scary turnaround. 24 hours.
You know? Mm-hmm. And they were like, what should we do next? You know?
Keep on doing what you're doing. Do the same thing that you did last night and keep on...
Well, I just wish
keep on trucking.
Keep on keeping on.
See that, you know, that there's such a need for people to be able to at least try and get relief when they work so badly.
People just want to be away from their pain, and I think more than anything that cannabis does that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you take it with the CBDs or you take the, you know, with a high THC. Point is, you're going to get this relief that you've been wanting and you've been needing for a very long time.
Yeah.
So
most people, it works pretty well. There are a lot of people that are afraid of the effects, particularly the cycles.
Right. A lot of people are
afraid. Active effects. Yeah. You know,
they don't want to get high.
They don't like that feeling. It makes them feel out of control or a loss of control.
But here's the thing. Most of them have no clue that they can get the relief, the pain relief, without that high.
Right.
And that's a fantastic thing to me that is so exciting in what we're doing now.
Well, we've come so far.
Yeah, in a short period of time.
Mm-hmm.
It's exploding.
Right. And we're going to see more and more of these cannabinoids surface here in the following years.
And I think we're going to see more of the botanical Holy Smokes products come up. Maybe Holy Smokes will just be the only one because they're organic and it's all it should be. But things that are synergistic with your cannabis and your body that help it, what was the word that you used earlier? I can't remember. It just helps your body facilitate its own process easier.
It balances out everything in the body. It helps
does.
Everything. It's a regulator.
Yes.
Regulator.
It
regulates.
Well, not only regulates, but it also heals. There's so much work that they're finding now about the healing of nerve cells. So every time that you go out and look in any of these articles, there's new nerve disease added to what cannabis can help. And that's not surprising because it's hitting a whole huge system, your nerves.
Huge.
Your whole body and
affected by everything.
You know, and if you just take a little bit of what is cannabis? A plant, you know? A very small dose of a plant, and you take a little bit every day, and you get a lot of omegas, the stuff that they tell you is healthy, you know. You have a little with your cereal in the morning, or your eggs, or whatever. What's that hurt?
Well, this is, I think this is where green eggs in hand came from. How do you get green eggs? You use can of butter. I'm not saying. I'm not, and hey, who doesn't like a little ham with a green egg, right?
Exactly.
And green beer.
Yeah. Let's do this right.
So, Nurse Mady, what are some of the new things that are coming out with cannabis that that you're telling your patients about and recommending them? You know, we've got a lot of patients out there who don't like to smoke.
Well, I've been talking to them about edibles and. From a nurse perspective, I never prescribe. Nobody in their right mind would do any prescribing. But we talk about natural kinds of things that could help them get better. How they can take their flowers or their leaves and make tea out of it. How they can make their can of butter out of it. How they can turn it into... They can even make little coconut oil things that they could use topically. You know, there are all kinds of things that people could learn. The next thing is then I'm so excited about being able to buy these products that are so high in CBD content that are not considered illegal. You know, that anybody can get.
There's no fear behind it.
No, it's hemp oil based.
Right.
You know, it's things that have been around in our country for hundreds of years before the prohibition started, you know, 70 years ago. You know, we're tired about hearing about all that. But from a medical point of view, I am so excited about when I see little kids not having seizures after two drops of hemp oil, basically.
High CBD.
You know, what is the fear? You can go down to Whole Foods and buy very low concentrates of it, you know. But I want to get those things that are going to help you get better. You know, that's what you want. That's what everyone wants. They want to feel better. They want to know that their body is actually healing itself. That's the thing that I like. We're not just putting in parts of things that can heal you. They actually have people, responses. You can see them on film. Well, what kind of research do you need?
Yeah, this is true. This is true.
Sorry, I get carried away.
No, it's a hot button, hot topic, because it's our country wanting to feel better and finally realizing that our government's been lying to us for so long.
Pharmaceutical companies. I mean,
we need to realize our federal government grows marijuana, has done so for over 30 years, distributes it to local pharmacies for their own patients every 25 days, every month, their patients get 300 joints in a tin can.
But
here's
a really sad fact about that farm in Mississippi. They're not growing any right now. You know why? They got so much seed that's old, years old.
Oh, so gross.
Yeah, and it's not very, you know, potent. And it's not good for any kind of research now. Even though the demand is out there, they're not growing it. Sunday Gupta went there and looked for himself. It's in the new High Times.
Cool. We'll definitely read that next week.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's great.
That was a great article.
Yeah.
So
exciting to me.
So you, Nurse Mary D, is down here at Tumbleweed Health Center Monday through Friday. You can sign up. She's got new classes down here. And yesterday was her first class. She had two classes. She had some great students come in. Tell us how that experience was. Tell us what your classes are. Why did you start these? I mean, what need were you hoping to fill with these classes here at Tumbleweed?
Well, what I see is a need for people that have never experienced medical marijuana before. It's not, and you hear this over and over, it's not like in the 60s where you go out and you sit around in a circle of friends and you laugh and all day. You know, it just, when you live in pain, it's a whole different story. And the way that the cannabis is being used today, you have to know what you're doing. It's like being a nurse. I had to learn about the drugs that I was giving people. I never wanted to give people anything that I didn't know about, at least from reading and learning from the pharmacist about it, you know. And that's the way I approach cannabis. And there's a lot of people I found in doing my own research that cost me a lot of money. It cost me thousands of dollars trying out different pieces of equipment because I so much wanted to do it healthy and right and get it down to where I could function and be a person and not be in pain. And I, from volunteering at Tumbleweed, have discovered that there are many people that came from much even less knowledge than I have, and that when I talked to them, they were so grateful for the information. It reminded me of when I was doing my real nursing, that I call it. And then, you know, I just one day said, you know what, I still have something to give. I've been retired a couple of years now. And so I decided maybe I should try doing something I love, talking to people about how to get the most out of this, what I call new medication. And they need to be careful. They can't just stop what they're doing with opioids because that is so, so dangerous, you know. And, you know, I want to catch these people before they hurt themselves and end up in the hospital and give them information that's going to help them succeed.
Yeah.
So that's what it's about, case managing from the beginning, offering them a plan that they can work with, contacting their doctors for them. So many people are afraid to talk to their doctor, and I'd be willing to do that with their medical releases, you know, and work with them. Kind of case management, work with them on getting a care plan set up so that they can know how to get the medication that works for them, you know.
And in Arizona, after the program started, a lot of doctors were dropping patients and you know, dropping their meds. And Arizona came up with a revised statute that says, that's illegal. Can't do it. Doctors cannot drop their patients because they're using medical marijuana. And what we've heard from a lot of medical doctors is that cannabis does not interact with your other medicines. So that, you know, because you get your little pill cocktail going on, you don't know what's doing what to what. So cannabis is not something that's going to affect your other medicines. Because there are a lot of people that are on these heavy narcotics, and you can't just pull turkey stop or go to withdrawal. I mean, there's all sorts of things.
It doesn't just replace what that has been doing to your body.
Yeah. So, you know, people have to be very careful when they're, you know, doing these things, and we always advise that they talk to their doctors.
Yeah.
But,
or come down and talk to
your nurse. Or come talk to our doctors, you know.
Yeah.
That's really important, is like what you just said, is knowing how much to take.
Yeah.
And how to slowly get off your other pain medications without having a disruption.
Well, you know, and when you're in pain and you're taking these pain meds, you can't think. You need somebody to help you figure it out.
You really do. It's like when you get sick, you forget to drink water or, you know, drink your juice or take some extra vitamin C. You're not in the right mind anymore. And you need some hand-holding, and that's what we're here for. People need to start somewhere.
Sometimes it's your family member that needs to be taught.
Cannabis kindergarten. That's us. Right here.
Yay!
Come play with us.
And have some snacks.
Have some snacks. Nap time. Playing with them. That's a beautiful new patio.
Uh-huh.
Ah. So,
meet nice people.
Yeah, talk with Mary and your CD.
And it's only these folks.
What's the most impressive cannabis response you've seen from a patient? So let's say someone's coming in just with awful pain, or what's the most?
This was it's difficult because there are so many of them. But about a year ago, I saw a woman, a young woman, in her probably 20s somewhere. I don't know. I'm bad at ages anymore. But anyway, a young woman in a great deal of distress because she was on a lot of opiates and had a lot of pain and was having difficulty getting enough medication to feel relief. She was so uncomfortable. She was, you know, sweating. She was pale. She was shaking, you know, and I was fearful that she might be getting into withdrawal. And she had been using medical marijuana for just a little while and had been using it, you know, back in the recreational days kind of way, you know, smoking a joint here and there, you know, but it wasn't her primary relief. And so I talked to her a little bit about hanging in there with and some other ways that she could use the cannabis that might be more effective for what she was looking for, you know, for some relief. And this woman came back a week later, and I swear to God, she looked 10 years younger. And was happy and cheerful and was, oh my God, this worked so well, and what should I do next? And I mean, when it's not just one person though, it's just over and over again, and that's what made me want to go back to work and really do this for people and stick with them if they want help, you know.
That's great. It's nice, you know, people, this is scary for people, and they need to be able to feel safe and comfortable and relaxed, you know, enough to let their guard down a little and ask questions and make some comments, because it's hard for people. They come in and they're a nervous wreck.
When you're sick, everything is scary.
It is. Yeah. Well, and you've got this whole federal, you know, illegalization looming, dooming over your head, like, Here's a wonderful plant that's going to help you feel better, but then there's
the
fear, the anxiety from our government.
It's almost
our
like
government's giving
our
us
government
is giving us PTSD.
I dare you
get
to
everyone
get well.
With all the last.
This country is definitely on a high anxiety.
High anxiety alert.
Yeah.
Educate. That's the main thing.
That's right. That's
educate.
Exactly it.
It's true.
It is true.
And giving people that chance to, like you said, well, like allowing them to come in and be in this atmosphere of comfort.
Yeah.
And really letting, like you said, let their guard down and open up is, I was doing a presentation the other day on HIV and AIDS, and we were talking about it, and it's the same kind of stigma that kind of follows that as well.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, HIV and AIDS and cannabis, medical marijuana, I feel like the stigma for both sets of patients are on the same level. I mean, you're talking about opening up about something that is very scary because either you're going to go to jail or you think you might lose friends, family members,
or all of the above.
And so there's so much that is going behind this about what they're going to lose, and they just have to know that not everyone out there is out to judge them, and that it is getting better, and allowing that time for them to just feel comfortable in the skin that they're in.
If you look in the latest edition of High Times magazine, they've got letters that patients write in. There's one about this letter wrote, this guy said, I'm writing this letter on behalf of my father, who was recently and unjustly charged with possession of marijuana. And it's so sad that people are out there worrying about their parents. They can't, you know, like, here's someone who's just trying to get some pain relief, who gets pulled over for a traffic violation, broken taillight, and the police officer insisted in searching the car. Signs are roached on the floor of the car the dad didn't even know about. And it's facing felony charges now. So, you know, it's awful. Be careful with your roaches, people. But seriously, he's a medical patient, and this is something that shouldn't be happening. And pretty soon it won't be. Right? Right? Yeah. Amen.
Vote, people.
Yeah, vote. Seriously vote, because that's the only way it's going to change. You can come down here to Tumbleweeds Health Center, 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, and vote to have cannabis legalized in 2014. Safer Arizona has a petition going to get cannabis legalized for people of voting age and older, so 18 and older.
Yes, that's true.
Yes, so 18 and older. The one
they
in 2000.
We have to have enough signatures by early next year. So.
Yeah, we need 259,000 signatures.
That one. I think the 18 years and over.
Gotta
I think
be
if you're old enough to go to war and you're going to come back with PTSD, pain, who knows? Your arm could have gotten blown off while you're in war.
Well,
and you're 18 years old and now, and you're and you can't use Vicodin, Percocet, or any of those other pain pills because it makes you sick. And now you're SOL because you just went and fought for your country and now your country's not helping you back. So I definitely think that 18 and over is with enough symptoms and be able to follow, you know, the definite to qualify qualifications.
Well, for legalization, you know, if you're old enough to vote, you're old enough to use, in my opinion.
If you're old enough to vote, you're old enough to smoke.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think because there's some high schoolers that are still 18, and I think it's, I think that's the challenge that it presents, having teenagers on campus with cannabis. I think that's probably... Really,
they're doing
the
it now, though.
Well, sure, they are, but you don't want kids running around and actually going, ah, I got to read that. Look,
right.
In the hallways, you know.
Well,
you can't.
It wouldn't be that. I think that.
Okay.
No.
No. All right, I don't know, I was having a chance.
No,
but,
I mean.
Okay, high school would have been way better.
It would have been,
it.
But I don't think it's going to go to that. That.
It'd be a lot like the alcohol.
Right, you still have to go get a card. You have to, I mean, how many 18-year-olds have PTSD and, you know, their arms... Or being an amputee from coming back from war. I can't think about that. I'm thinking about the 18-year-olds that are coming back from war that aren't going to have any options.
Well, and there's an article in the Daily Star about the gentleman that came back from war with PTSD.
Wall Street Journal.
A Wall Street Journal. Mm-hmm. My apologies.
Yesterday.
Blacking out, jumping off of balconies because of PTSD. Ended up homeless, ended up in jail. He ended up with over 3,600 pills.
For treatment for his addiction in 2008 and was ignored by the VA.
Yeah, the VA just ignored his pleas. He overdosed six times. And I didn't even finish the article. That's just from the very first couple of paragraphs. But this is something, thankfully, Arizona is considering for PTSD. Yay.
PTSD?
Someone dies of addiction every 19 minutes in this country.
That's not good.
Nope.
That's not good at all. Well, let's read some, hopefully, good things. What do you think? Have some fun facts here?
Right.
We've got our historical timeline, which we started in the year 79. BG? Is that right, Beth? 79. We are now to the year 1911. Massachusetts become the first state to outlaw cannabis. Uh-oh. That's not happy. Bolstered by progressive era faith in big government, the 1910s marked a high tide of prohibitionist sentiment in America. In 1914 and 1916, alcohol prohibition initiatives would make the state ballot. Meanwhile, the legislature was having such moral issues as prostitution, racetrack gambling, prize fighting, liquor, and oral sex. Amidst the profusion of vices, Indian hemp, a.k.a. cannabis, was but a minor afterthought. States banned cannabis in the 1910s, Massachusetts in 1911, Maine, Wyoming, and Indiana in 1913, New York in 1914, Utah and Vermont in 1915, and Colorado and Nevada in 1970. As in California, these laws were passed not due to any widespread usage concern about cannabis, but as regulatory initiatives to discourage future use. Interesting. And I read somewhere that when alcohol prohibition ended, they needed another fight. So there you go. Cannabis prohibition, 1911. So look at that. 1911 until 2000, almost 14. Taking a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm.
But we're coming back. Our states are coming back around. Look what Colorado's done since 1970.
when they outlawed it.
Wow. All right.
So good to hear these kinds of things. I was talking to someone the other day. I was like, you know, the progress that we're making in cannabis. And I was like, have you heard, and I was telling, it was those two ladies that I'm having coming in.
All right.
But have you heard some of the progress being made in cannabis work and in science and in the medical field? And they're like, no, I actually haven't heard any of it. And I was like, you know, I'm so lucky to be a part of this radio show and being a part of Tumbleweed. But allowing yourself to go out and look for the information and do the research, is I think that those medications just, and the pharmaceutical companies just have everyone just going, hey, you just take these and you'll just be just fine. Don't look anywhere else for your medication. And they just have them stuck in this fearful, fearful place.
Panic.
Mm-hmm. All the
totally
time.
Totally panic.
And so when cannabis comes up, they still have that panic behind it because of the federal government and the pharmaceutical companies. But, you know, like we talked about, that education and getting people to talk about it really, really does help. And
it's
allowing them to have a safe space to be able to go, I always wanted to try it.
It's like a support group. I'm
it
just
going
to say it. I'm just going to say it. I mean, so sorry. And seriously, you have to be around people that are like-minded, because a lot of people in society will try this for the first time ever, and 99% of their friends around them are like, oh, I'd never do that, oh my God, and this bad, and federal government, and rage, and jail, and blah, blah. And they're secretly inside going, oh crap, they don't like it, you know? Then you go to a place like Tumbleweed where people are here on purpose getting their cards, and They're talking about what's going on. They're talking about cannabis. They're talking about their pain. They're talking
so much
about
support out there that you don't know about.
Yeah. It's important to have support.
Yeah.
Everybody knows me. All right. Where are we? Hello, little
hot dog.
Yeah. Hey! Woo-woo! This weekend, come get your free organic hot dogs and veggie dogs at Tumbleweed Tells that we're celebrating 2 years of being in business. Yes. Empathy. Are you ready? Are we starting over? I think it was like, how many times is this? Four?
No, I think this is our
not that we don't love this.
Second. No.
Eighth, tenth. No, it's third.
How many pages are there?
Third or four.
Because we do
four,
more
that's what
every
I
week.
I think it's four.
Four times?
Well, there's 53 pages, but we do two. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we're on our umpteenth reading of Empathy, Food for Thought, a look at the irrationality of modern society in regard to cannabis consumption. Ivan, we actually had on our show for our 1 year. You'd say Wednesday anniversary, Ivan was on, and she wrote a fantastic book, working on number two. We're working on number three. Kidding. Empathy, Food for Thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is socially and legally accepted, the why, and what is forbidden, and why not? Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects. We need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. And we need to stop the obstruction of research and madness and the criminalization of a useful plant like cannabis. This information is meant to be shared. www.why-whynot.net. All right, so it says, can cannabis help our planet become a better place to live? And we described the pictures. It just looks like a dump. Got it, but the dump has some hope in the middle with a tiny little cannabis plant shining through.
I don't even know how he grew there, but
well, it's just gift of the gods.
I was reading an article the other day, and they said, hemp actually helps clean up radioactive areas that have been polluted by human beings.
Cool.
So it actually cleans the area of where everything is.
Yeah,
we
do a lot for our air. We are planting crops. The culture of tobacco is pernicious. The plant greatly exhausts the soil. Of course, it requires much manure. Therefore, other productions are deprived of manure, yielding no nourishment for cattle. There is no return for the manure expended. It is impolitic. The fact well established in the system of agriculture is that the best hemp and the best tobacco grow on the same kind of soil. The former article is of the first necessity to the commerce and marine, in other words, to the wealth and protection of the country. The latter
never useful and sometimes pernicious, derives its estimation from the truth and its set values and the taxes to which it was formerly exposed. Thomas Jefferson, from his farm book, March 16, 1791. They go on to show a couple of pictures. They have references of cannabis, what is hemp, what is industrial hemp. Does anyone know the difference between cannabis and they say medical cannabis and industrial hemp. Do you know the difference?
No, I don't.
Medical cannabis is grown with a higher than 0.3% THC content.
Uh-huh.
So all your industrial hemp fields have less than 0.3% THC. And
it's a nice little, it's got, talks about a lot of different things there.
Yeah. It's got a little reference guide. There's a little beautiful little illustration of a male and a female plant. And then it says, what if I told you with these pictures of the dinosaurs, this is going back in the day, we're going dinosaur era, and then there's
when
smoking.
The cannabis leaves used to be huge.
Yeah, they're, oh, look at them, they're everywhere. What if I told you there is a plant that has been on this planet for over 130 million years that could help feed, heat, clothe, shelter, and heal not only you, but also the planet. What would you say if this planet has contributed to man's survival since the Paleolithic era, roughly
100,000
years
do it.
Ago? All right.
Just
use it.
Just use it.
And Neolithic artifacts prove that it has been useful to mankind for at least 5,000 years. Artifacts found in Taiwan show that Neolithic Chinese culture of Ying Xiao wove hemp for clothing, nets, and rope nearly 5,000 years ago. Hemp seeds have been found in Neolithic European sites that date back to 5,500 BC. Discoveries by archaeologists at Xeric suggests that hemp seeds were consumed in ceremonial practices during the 5th to the 2nd century BC, confirming a famous description by Herodotus of use by the Scythians. Hmm. Wow, this is our little introduction. And what would you think if records showed that this plant's medicinal and spiritual awakening properties have been appreciated and utilized for over 5,000 years throughout the globe by various cultures? The Pen Tao Ching, speaking for the legendary Emperor Shen Nung of about 2000 BC, prescribes marijuana preparation for malaria, beriberi, constipation, rheumatic pain, absent-mindedness, and female disorders. Even the cannabis root found its place in early medicine. Ground to form a paste, it was applied to relieve the pain of broken bones and surgery. The Yanghai tombs near Turkhan, Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, bless you, China, may have recently been excavated to reveal the 2,700-year-old grave of a Caucasoid shaman whose accoutrement included a large stash of cannabis, superbly preserved by climate and burial conditions. Tests show that this material contained THC, the psychoactive component of cannabis. Cannabis is mentioned as a medication in the following ancient medical text. The Messium 3rd Papyrus 1700 BCE, Ebers Papyrus 1600 BCE, the Berlin Papyrus 1300 BCE, and the Chester Beatty, the 6th Papyrus, the 1300 BCE. The Ebers Papyrus is the oldest known complete medical textbook in existence, and most scholars believe that it is a copy of a much earlier text, probably around 3100 BCE.
Wow.
That's the crazy. Those are the crazy facts.
How far back that is?
So if in all the thousands of years that man has made use of the cannabis plant, not a single death has been linked to its consumption, why is there such a bias against cannabis when there are so many toxic substances and procedures that are not only legal, but even publicly financed? Why are we investing in its eradication instead of investigating potential health, ecological, economical, spiritual benefits? The punishments for using it are far more harmful than the consumption of this plant. So stop. Breathe deeply. Clear your mind and read through the following pages and ask yourself, why? And why not? We will get to the whys and why not next week. Don't forget to come to Tumbleweed Health Center this weekend.
2-year anniversary.
Woo-hoo!
happy
That's
birthday.
That's super exciting. That's a long time. It feels like 20.
Happy anniversary.
Happy birthday to us. That's right. Oh, wow. What a wonderful and exciting and scary and fun and exciting and scary and fun adventure it's been. And an honor. And Lisa told us that. Grateful and blessed to have been a part of all of this and still keep going. So 5315 East Broadway Boulevard, Suite 103. We're in the back. You won't miss us because we're going to have a tent out front with certification sign-ups with big balloons. We're doing certification sign-ups. You'll be able to talk to your talk to our doctors to see if you're...
an eligible patient.
Yes, to see if you qualify for cannabis. And also, the music's just going to be booming out there. We have a DJ. You'll smell the organic hot dogs from the street, and I'll bring you in there.
Raffle prizes.
We're going to try and get some kettle corn down here. Maybe not the entire truck, but some individual bags that you can buy and maybe win some prizes for. All sorts of fun stuff. Massage. Psychic. Nurse Mary D. And
tasty.
Yes, organic botanical tasting.
Filled with terpenoids.
Oh,
it's going to be. I can't
even. Oh, my gosh.
Well,
it's going to be a blast. Everybody, come one, come all, family, friends.
Be down here.
Yeah, just if you just see them, be where you're at.
Don't
down here.
Question
just
what you're doing this
don't
Saturday.
Don't even think about it.
Just get down here.
What's the time?
It's noon to 4:20.
Mm-hmm.
Raffles, prizes, giveaways, hugs, and more. Come to Tumbleweed Health Center.
And hugs are free.
Always, always free. And this show rocks, and everybody on this show rocks. And
you
we
rock.
Just, you rock, Cannabis Kid. Tech Guy, Nurse Mary D, Mystery Patient. We love having
you guys
here, always.
Thank you for
being
here today. Thank you for being on today.
Yeah, woo!
Come down and see her. She'll give you more information.
Yes. And go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com to find out all the groovy details about our celebration this weekend. Thank you, azmarijuana.com, Growers House, who had a fantastic festival last weekend. Check out their new place at 1501 East 21st Street. It's awesome.
Nice. Big.
Oh. Gargantuan. Huge.
Like
you gotta check it out.
Accurate Med Testing.
Accurate Med Testing. Mary Jane Survival Guide. Blog Talk Radio. Tumbleweed
Health
Center. COC for always hosting this fun and fantastic show. And the Cannabis Kid.
Remember.
Be smart.
Be safe.
Educate. Thank you.